Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Barbara DeLong. She has her own radio show. I think she has a couple of radio shows. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on, and we're going to talk about the Meyer material this evening. Barbara, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your radio shows and a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, the radio shows are on both Blog Talk Radio and freedomslips.com, and the show is called Nightlight on both of them. One of them is on, the one on Freedom Slips is on Monday night from 10 to 12, and it's mostly interview and spiritual material along with some spiritual readings as well. The Blog Talk show is Wednesday nights, 8 to 10, and that is basically a reading show. And I've been in the field for a long time, and if anybody's interested in looking up on me, or me up, it's www.barbaradelong.com.
You have a lot of other stuff going on, too, besides your radio shows. Two radio shows a week is a lot, but I think you sent out an email a couple weeks ago that I got a copy of that had all these other things you were doing as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm at a local bookstore at least once a week, and I teach a lot of classes and workshops there. So, there is a lot going on top of writing for the website, which is constantly growing as well. So I keep busy. It's a good thing I'm retired.
You don't sound very retired. You do a lot of writing for your website, too?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's constantly growing. I think one of the newest features is called 101 Questions I've Been Most Frequently Asked. And actually, there are 200 or so questions. I just only have 40 or 50 of them up. So I have a lot of writing to do on that. And when it's all done, it'll be put into a book.
And you said you're at a local bookstore on a regular basis?
Yeah, I do readings there, and that's where I do the workshops and the classes that I teach.
Wow, very cool. And what kind of classes are they?
There's spiritual development classes. There's classes in pendulums and dowsing and gem casting. let's see what else. Just about, you know, the full spectrum of this work. And then I also do private readings and spirit circles as well. I just got back from Virginia where I did a whole bunch of that.
A bunch of readings in Virginia?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
When the deck of cards came out, I did a lot of touring of the country with them. And I did a lot of stuff in Virginia. And even though I'm not doing the kind of touring that once I did, I have a huge fan base down there, so anytime I can get down there for a week or so, I get in as many readings as I can.
That's awesome. I wonder why that one particular state has more fans.
Well, it's where I started, and when the cards came out, the publisher, I went with him to the American Book Association convention in Anaheim. And I said to him, look, you know, it's a different deck. Let me read for free to show people how to use it. And he said, oh, I'm not sure that's anything anybody could do because nobody's ever done that before. And I said, what better reason to do it? And he said, I don't think it'll be very popular, but if you want to try, fine. So first day, they opened the doors, and there was a sign that said free readings with the Cosmic Deck of Initiation. And the line was so long that it wound around the corridor, and there were over 150 people in it.
Wow.
And I looked at him, and I said, just have your guys wander up and down and sell the cards. And I'll keep the line moving. and for 4 days. That's what I did. 12 hours a day for 4 days. Yeah. And
that's
the next
crazy.
Years, surprise, 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 there were a whole bunch of readers.
That's amazing. That's just fantastic. Can you put your URL to your website in the chat room?
Sure. Be happy to.
That would be great. I'd like to see it. And well, tonight I am going to cover some amazing information. I was just blown away this afternoon putting this together. And I literally did not do anything else today, which is so unlike me. I couldn't pull myself away from this, and it finally got, it seemed like it was so much, I just kind of had to stop and veg out a little bit.
Well, I have to admit, you sent me a short link, and I took a look at it, and I thought, holy mackerel, that is so cool. is this Nocodemian? How do you say Nocodemian lineage?
Yes, the Nocodemian lineage. And oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I want to also put the most amazing thing in the chat room, which is the actual lineage. It's a PDF, and if you haven't seen this yet, guys, you got to see this. And that's where a lot of the material came from. And I have to admit that the challenge this evening is I'm trying to go over something I don't know it as well as I'd like to yet. And one of the things that I just thought that I should bring up is the difference between being impulsed and having telepathic contact. Have we ever talked about that?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, one of the things that the Pleiarians talk about is there's literally thousands of people all over the world that, as time has passed, they send what's called impulses. In other words, you're just kind of motivated to do something. You don't know why. You don't know. You have no idea. It's coming from anywhere outside yourself. And some of the people, historic figures that they've impulsed, even people like Hitler were impulsed, and when Hitler started out, his destiny was to be a great leader. His destiny was to bring the people of the earth together. Now, that didn't happen because of a group of negative extraterrestrials, and I've talked about this many times before, called the Bifath or the Giza Intelligences. Now, the other kind of contact is telepathic, and with the telepathic contact, you hear a clear voice in your head telling you things. So when Billy was a young boy growing up in Bulak, Switzerland, he would get this clear voice in his head from this man named Svath, and he would also get visual images in his head. And eventually, of course, Billy had his contacts with Svath, which I've talked about many times before, where that strange silvery pear-shaped craft would come and land on the ground. Well, one of the things that Svath started to teach Billy about was his previous lifetimes. So what I have here, and this may be, is this part of the Meyer case? Is it kind of challenging to you? Is this something that, I mean, there are certain things about the Meyer case I run across every once in a while that I'm like, man, that's just really hard for me to accept that or
wrap around.
Yeah, or something like that. So what do you think? Is this strange?
No, I don't find it strange. I do find it challenging to a point, but not to a big point because, I mean, it does start out with Adam and Eve, which is, you know, what our history tells us, you know, happened. But but the creation of the Adam and the Eve are different. So that, you know, it isn't a God doing this. It is another entity. I want to step back for just a second, though, because you've drawn a really good illustration of everybody has intuition, and everybody has the spontaneity, the ability to be spontaneous. And then there, and being actually psychic is very different from being intuitive. And you've come, you know, you've explained it very beautifully in that you know, being psychic, there literally is a voice.
Oh, really?
And when you are intuitive or spontaneous, that's just your higher consciousness kind of communicating with you, and some people are comfortable with it and go with it, and some people are not. But when you're psychic, you're able to telepathically reach across to another person's energy and read that energy, and that's different from being intuitive.
Hmm. And so there's a little bit of an analogy, I guess, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. But I think the thing that I found most interesting was how this all just starts about 9.6 million years ago, or...
Billion, yeah.
Billion years ago, okay. Billion, sorry. So, and the Nicodian was the first... that was the first pure one, unblemished, precious one, who was born 9.6 billion years ago. Who were his parents?
Well, what we're talking about here is the lineage of the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. And the Meyer material says we all have a spirit form. It's our spiritual consciousness. It resides in a place in our middle brain called the superior colliculus. That's the area that controls sight. And what we're in this Nicodemian lineage, we're going through at least part of the lineage of the spirit form, this spirit form incarnating. And the spirit form is the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. So Nicodemian is the first one mentioned here in this lineage. And he was born 9.6 billion years ago. We don't have his parents. We don't know who his parents are. At least it hasn't come out yet in the Meyer material. He wasn't born on this Earth, obviously. Our Earth isn't even that old. This was before our solar system, really. And the sun might have existed 9.6 billion years ago, but that's about it. And then a man named Henoch. The name is spelled with a K. He was born 8 billion years ago. He's known as the wise man of time, the initiate. Now, the person that you were talking about, and this lineage may not be complete, but this is just what we have. The next person in line here is Semyasa, who sometimes is referred to as a demigod. And go ahead.
Wasn't Eris the Barbarian, was he in one of the waves of the Atlanteans?
Yes, Eris the Barbarian was in the...
sorry. I actually listened to you.
Eris the Barbarian was, he was the leader. He was one of the people that came here from Beta Centauri. Semyasa was one of his scientists who worked under him. Semyasa fathered Adam. That was about 13,035 years ago. That information is mentioned in Contact Report 9. Semyasa is said to be the highest leader of the sub-leaders. There were something like 200 sub-leaders under Eris the Barbarian. He mated with a human being called an Eva. At that time on the Earth, there were, how can I say this? There were a group of human beings left behind from hundreds of thousands of years ago when the Lyrians were here. These people had, my understanding, white skin, but they had kind of devolved over the years because their civilization broke down. Well, at least that's my best understanding. She was rather beautiful, and this was the woman that Semyasa had sex with. She had an offspring, Adam, by the way, who was about 16 feet tall. His name meant earth human being, and there was Eve was produced as well. So that's the story of Semyasa. That was about 13,035 years ago. Evidently, I guess Semyasa is one of the incarnations of Edward Albert Meyer. Next, now what you usually hear in the Meyer material is about the seven prophets. You'll hear about Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and Edward Albert Meyer. Now, there are some details left out of that. And what I'm going to do today is talk about those details. First of all, Enoch was also known as Henoch. And there were three Enochs. Okay? There was one born about 13,500 years ago. One born about 9,008 years ago. Another one born 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. And then we go with the seven, okay, which would Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. Now, between Isaiah and Emmanuel, there were two other guys born in there. And you might find this interesting, Barbara. According to Meyer information, the same spirit form that's in Billy Meyer was the one that was in Socrates and also in Aristotle.
Huh.
So the full lineage would go Nicodemian, Henoch, Semyasa, Henoch with a CH, Henoch 1, Henoch 2, Henoch 3, Eliah, who's also known as Elijah, Jeziah, who's also known as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Socrates, Aristotle, the person that most people today call Jesus, who we call Emmanuel in the Meyer material, which means one with the divine knowledge, one with the JHWH knowledge. Unfortunately, today's called Jesus, and the Meyer material claims that his teaching has been highly distorted. That was,
nobody's going to disagree with that one.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that, but we could probably get some pushback on that. 500, almost 600 years later, 571 AD with Muhammad. And that's another area about the Meyer material that's kind of a black hole for me that I'd like to learn more about. I don't mean to dominate. I want you to throw in some comments here if you have any, Barbara.
Oh, I will.
Okay, good.
Not to worry.
The next guy in the lineage is named Johann Georg Faust. He was born in 1480. Faust. He was born. He was an alchemist, an astrologer, a magician. That was 1480 AD in the German Renaissance. The next material lifetime of the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer was a name. Guy that we all know very well, Galileo Galilei, 1564 AD, astronomer, physicist, engineer, philosopher, mathematician. He played a huge role in how we looked at the universe changing. In other words, he said, no, the sun's the center of our solar system. The earth revolves around the sun. And that was enough almost to get him killed. Right there. The next guy is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in 1756, who was a very well-known keyboardist, violinist. He was also known by other names, slightly different. During his final years in Vienna, he composed many symphonies, concertos, operas. Now, what's interesting about the website, I think, is one of the things is these photos or paintings, isn't there a resemblance? Isn't that interesting? I don't know. I thought so anyway.
Well, they've all got beards.
They all got beards. They do look somewhat different in some ways, but to me, they there was a certain striking resemblance there as well. Mendelssohn was another of the incarnations of Edward Albert Meyer. There's a great video out there on Mendelssohn where some of the music is played. It looks like I inadvertently put Mendelssohn down there twice for whatever reason. I'll have to check my notes on that. The next guy was Rasputin, who is very strange. 1869, he was a Russian peasant, a mystical faith healer. I was a trusted friend of Nicholas II. I bet you know something.
He was crazy as they come. And from what little I know of him, it was the wife that he was more, well, closer to for sure, because he did work on the son who had hemophilia, and he was able to help him. But he was now you know, I for most of these people, I don't know a great deal about them. I Mendelssohn and Mozart and some, but the two that I find so contrary to Billy's teachings, philosophies, and everything is Faust and Rasputin. Rasputin was crazy, Mark. He was
weird, wasn't he? Strange character. He was really,
even in today's times of debauchery, he would have gotten an Academy Award. He was really way out there.
You know, in some ways, though, I've always kind of felt that about Billy. And I mean, that's a bad thing to say. I mean, I don't mean to attack him by any means.
No,
but,
I got
but,
it.
But the, sometimes words, they just don't come when you're trying to describe this stuff. One of the things I wanted to go back to, and this also is very difficult for me because this is kind of new material.
Uh-huh.
And it takes me a while to absorb this stuff. Now, according to the Meyer information, and I always say that because I'm not being dogmatic. I'm just presenting the material as it is. Let people decide for themselves whether they think it's true or not. But the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer has incarnated as all of these people over time. And what we're seeing is what the Meyer material calls a universal prophet. And each... Go ahead. Comment.
Well, yeah, I can see him spiritually fitting into every single one of those lifetimes, with the exception of the two that I mentioned, because there was a spiritual quality. I mean, anybody who is a genius with music, the way Mendelssohn and
Mozart
were. And then you look at Galileo and he was, I'm surprised that, Rembrandt isn't here too, but you've got Aristotle and Socrates, all of them brilliant, philosophical, spiritually oriented people, with the exception of those two. Now, I'm not debating it because, I know where your material comes from, Billy himself, and it came from whoever he was corresponding with at that time. I'm sure that this is not something that he did just to, assuage his ego, but I just, and when spirit does reincarnate, often it reincarnates in forms that, in order to grow and learn and stretch and stuff like that. But Rasputin, I have trouble with that.
Do you really? I'd like to learn
really
more about
do.
Him. You know, the Meyer material is just really hard to put into words about some things. There's an aspect to it that is mind-blowing. It's like, even look at Muhammad. I mean, there were things about Muhammad that one would have to, it's just like, I mean, how could he incarnate as Muhammad?
but Muhammad was a prophet.
Yeah.
He came to teach, to share, to help people grow. That was not the case with Rasputin.
Oh, really? I'll have to learn more about him and how
oh,
see how
yeah.
how that works. How that works in with the Meyer information. But I think you're right. I think sometimes when we reincarnate as, well, even different sexes. I mean, how
oh,
weird
sure.
is that? I mean, these are all men. I mean, did he have any female incarnations? I don't know.
There were female prophets, but you got to remember the records were all kept by men and they didn't care about women. So
sure.
while there were female prophets, for sure, I mean, just look at the oracles of Delphi, for heaven's sakes, the women didn't get, you know, they were there and they did stuff, but they weren't acknowledged or given credit for being the strong, powerful people. All of these men were able to, you know, be the heads of family, be the heads of tribes, be the heads of whatever. But women have always been sort of subservient. So that's why you see today the sacred feminine being such a thing that people are, you know, out there, you know, sacred feminining everything up. And I think it hasn't, it is a movement of sorts, and it has not seen its day yet, but, you know, there's a book of When Women Ruled the Earth that is quite fantastic. It talks about how way in the past women were the heads of everything, and of course we probably almost destroyed the planet too, but, you know, we don't need to go there. But, and they were as ruthless as the men were, in other words, so... But I think that's an excellent point. It seems to me, and from my experience with reincarnation, that it doesn't make sense that he never or one of his noteworthy incarnations was not a woman. Because
mm-hmm.
because we've talked about it being so important about having a male-female balance within our bodies in order to have the consciousness to be as wise as one has to be. And I think Billy is brilliant, and I think his material is phenomenal, but he didn't get there just being a man.
You're probably right. What's interesting is there are more female disciples mentioned in the Talmud of Emmanuel than there were men.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus up for the women. And in the new millennium, the Meyer material says the leading role will be played by women. And women will lead us out of the depravity of where we are now into the, you know, the age of enlightenment, if you will. So, a couple good pluses for women there.
Don't you find it a little, you know, I mean, I know that he's giving only the information that he gets and that he writes it down verbatim. I do find it fascinating that there isn't a balance between the male and the female. The people that he talks to, the people that have he's worked with, have been both male and female.
Right. Right.
So
I wonder if
not...
it has something. I think sometimes they hold things back that we're not ready for. And that may sound silly, but his group in Switzerland, he's had a lot of trouble with. And I wonder, and it's purely speculation on my part, I wonder if them knowing that he was a woman in a certain lifetime would be, I don't know, cause more problems somehow? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Totally guessing here. Okay. So anyway, I hope you guys come to this website, read it a little bit more, take a look at that incredible PDF. There's a lot of material there we're not even covering tonight. I did put the PDF link in. The other thing that I want to talk about is also extremely strange, and I'm just starting to wrap my mind around this. And this is something that has been completely retranslated by Marianne Ullinger in Switzerland, and she sent me several emails today, and the link, and let me put the link in the chat room so people can look at this themselves. It's called An Important Word Concerning Occult Powers, and meditation. And I'm going to put that link in there. Here's where. Oop, I got the wrong link. Well, guys, you'll have to just do the link at your leisure. It's on the same page as the Universal Profit stuff. Okay. Now.
Go ahead. Billy has in speaking once. It wasn't Billy. It was whoever he was talking to. Said there was a difference between prophecy and prediction.
Right.
So, and I can't remember. A prophecy was something that could happen, and prediction was something that was going to happen, or it was the other way around. I can't remember.
No, you got it right. You got it right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm sorry. I was just, you know, there was just this feeling that, I mean, the information is phenomenal. It always is. It always blows me away.
This is a document that Marianne Ulinger had to completely retranslate. It's called An Important Word Concerning Occult Powers and Meditation. And it talks about occult powers, people talking to spirits. And I'll try once again. There we go. I got the link right. How did she explain this? See, one of the things, and if you've listened to me talk about the Might of Thoughts book, then this won't seem completely foreign to you. But the Meyer material is one of the things it teaches us is that we have this incredible power to our thoughts. And I guess at our current point of evolution, we really can't completely harness this. And most of the time, the incredible power of our thoughts is expressed through our unconscious. Okay? And that's, for example, go ahead. Did you have a comment?
No, I'm just going, uh-huh.
Okay. So, for example, you've heard about the people that get the stigmata, the marks on the weird marks on their body, like they've been, hands have been pierced, feet have been pierced, sometime a cross will form on their foreheads. There was a lady, I think, in Bavaria, and I think I have it in my notes somewhere, who literally would bleed from her eyes something like every Friday.
Wow.
And, yeah, gruesome stuff. And the Meyer material says that is because these people have taken this information into their subconscious and to the point where they're kind of living it. And all the credible power of our minds at our current level of involvement is still down in the subconscious, still in the unconscious. We can't really bring it out, but we have these incredible abilities. Telepathy, telekinesis, levitation. One of the things that Sannyasi did was burn some photographs that Billy had brought back with him from one of their trips that he shouldn't have. So these extraterrestrials can do incredible things. And we are just now starting to get where we can do this crazy stuff. Well, one of the things that we can do is, and I'll just have to read this to you in a way, and then we can kind of talk about it a little bit. We are actually able to create spirits. Now, not the word create is incorrect. Marianne corrected me today. We don't actually create spirits. It's like the man when he has his semen and he's about to present his semen to the egg. He doesn't really create the baby. You know, this is the forces of nature, you know, where the sperm fertilizes the egg. Now, the man just is able to present it to bring it, you know, he's a participant, but he's not actually creating the baby. You understand what I'm saying? So the same kind of thing happens with the spirit. Our minds initiate something. So I'll use the word create. maybe I should say present, we're actually able to, let's say manifest. I don't know what the right word is. These Wesenheiten that come to life through the power of our own thoughts and feelings. Okay? Now, the Wesenheiten is a non-translatable German term. Typically, the creation, the universal consciousness, is called a Wesenheiten. One of the aspects, humans are what's called Wesen in the German. Your dog, your cat is a Wesen. These are animals that, through their own volition, human beings being the best example, through their own volition, use self-determination in their evolution. And we can talk, if we have time tonight, about how we evolve. But the Wesenheiten is a material or immaterial form of existence that does not have much self-determination in terms of its evolution. The universal consciousness, when it evolves to this set pattern, almost mechanically, almost robotically. And the same thing with certain energies and stones and waters and gases. These things still evolve too, but they're called Wesenheiten. Evidently, these spirits which come into existence are also Wesenheiten. At least that's the way they're called in this material. Now, this is what Marianne sent to me in the email. She said, it is actually an obsession and very often comes through wrong meditation. When the meditating human beings imagine things, sometimes they humans have problems and then imagine a help. And the stronger the wish for such a help, the more it manifests inside the one who actually wishes it. And this is the one way these Wesenheiten can come into existence. These Wesenheiten are created through our unconscious powers. She goes on and she talks about angels. She says, if a believer believes in angels and talks to them, it's the same as when the believers tell you that they are in contact with God and they get an answer. And Marianne says, angels and God don't exist. And what can happen sometimes, I guess, is a one-sided contact from this spiritual plane called Arahadath Rasetta, which we can talk about later. I'm not going to go into exactly right now. Thus, these Wesenheiten have the ability to communicate to us. And then remember, they came about. We didn't actually create them through our consciousness, but just like through sex, the man and the woman create the baby. A man or a woman doesn't have the technical knowledge, the capacity to create a baby, but through the sexual union they do. So that's the manifestation. Wait, go ahead.
My belief at this particular moment in time, and I always try to say it that way because, you know, we all grow and we all change and we all evolve, and so our opinions and everything do. But at this point in time, it's my understanding, spiritually speaking, that you know, we are body, mind, and spirit. So, and the soul and the body stay here, and the spirit is what moves on. And I think I'm in definitely agreement with Billy Meyer to that point. My belief is that the spirit that travels within the avatar of our human body has the capacity to communicate to the consciousness through various different channels, and one of them is creating a holographic image so that the consciousness can accept the information. And often it gives a hologram of an angel or a teacher or a wise man from the past. But that it's really, and that is, I think, what you're talking about.
It's very similar. Very, very good analogy. Very close. The way, again, this is put, as Billy said, our thoughts, the power of our thoughts and our feelings prepares this process, that we don't actually create. It's like the man who prepares the sperm for the generation of the child. The rest happens in the woman's body according to the laws of the creation. So, anyway, this is some information. And what can happen with these spirits, they can even communicate back to us. And they can communicate back to us in the in different voices, in voices of people that we knew that were previously passed over. Are you familiar with a couple of people, one named Chris Grissom and another one, Jane Roberts, the author of Seth?
Yeah, I've met her, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now I don't know if this is going to be offensive to you. I hope not. Let me read some of this. I don't think it will be. It says, okay, maybe start here. The more of such interviews and heighten our egos, the label human being makes in him or herself, the more dangerous it becomes for her. He slash she quickly loses control over him or herself, and along with it also over the inner Wesenheiten, which begin to dominate him or her. In simpler cases, the fact appears that the maker persons of such inner Wesenheiten can speak to them and receive answers from them, whereby often an active communication is being held. In order to get in contact with the inner Wesenheiten, persons bearing these Wesenheiten think up states of trance or some movements and contortion, concentration exercises, blinks of their eyes, or whatever it is through which the connection comes about. Believers and irrational esoterics and parapsychologists call this kind of Wesenheiten bearer a medium, a contactee, a channeler, as is the case with the American woman Chris Grissom and Jane Roberts, author of Seth. I don't know anything about these people at all, whatsoever. Go ahead.
Well, he does. I have found that Billy often gets very male with some of this, and he does say that practically all channelers and mediums are nothing other than self-deceivers or liars, swindlers, and cheaters. Now, I beg to differ with that.
Sure, go ahead. It's okay to differ.
I will admit that there are out there people who are all of those things, but there are also out there people who genuinely are trying to help other people and not trying to deceive them or swindle them, but to help them and to give them information. I know I am a channeler. I have done it. I am a medium. I do that. But not for profit. And and Jane Roberts, she did all the Seth material. She passed away from cancer. I will admit, with a lot of people who go into who are deep trance mediums, I sometimes don't buy it. But not everybody is out to make a fast buck. I mean, if that were the case, I'd either be very rich and not doing this anymore, or I'd have no business and I'd be poor and on the curb. And I'm right in the middle. So, I do believe that statement is way too broad. I mean, I it's okay to say that some, but not practically all. I don't buy that at all.
Let me ask you a little bit about this. Is this called the Seth material or something like that?
Yeah. She channeled Seth. I'm not sure exactly where he was supposed to be, but he is an ancient person. J.Z. Knight channeled Ramtha, who was a 1,000-year-old warrior. And the Seth material is good material. She wrote a lot of books. There is a lot of good material in them. She had to have questions posed to her by an intermediary, very similar to what Edgar Cayce did. Frankly, when I do mediumship, I talk directly to the person I'm talking to, but it's different strokes for different folks. Everybody has their own modality. There the danger with doing this kind of work and being very, very famous is that sometimes you are then forced to do it when you're not in the right place inside of yourself. And very often people start to fake it, and when you start to fake it, you destroy the channel, and so then you are totally a fake. It does happen. I've seen it. There's they call it the glory. And when you get swept away by the adoration of thousands of people, it's kind of hard not to get swept away. Happily, I haven't read thousands of people that have adored me, so I haven't been swept yet. But but there is a needed desire to satisfy those that are listening to you. Now, to be honest with you, if you really trust the energy that you've got and the energy that's coming through you, you never are at a loss for something to say, because pure energy will come through and do its job. But if you do this work and you push this work and you try to make a profit off of it, it turns on you. It absolutely turns on you. And it's shut off, and then you have to fake it. And they do. A lot of very famous psychics have done this. They've been caught cheating. It's really been incredible. So it does happen, but there are very sincere, good people out there still. So
was there some kind of fratricide where a brother was killed or something in Seth? I don't know anything about this. Does that ring a bell?
Doesn't ring a bell, but I'm not really that well versed. I've been to a couple of her sessions. I've seen her work, and I know that there are people that follow her. But I mean, come on, there are people that follow Zachariah Sitchin's material totally too.
Yeah.
And we won't go into that, but okay. You know, it's kind of like there is material out there that is so alluring, and it pulls people in so dramatically that even the fact that it's not true doesn't seem to matter to them. They still will quote you chapter and verse. So, I mean, you get that with politics, you get that with religion, you get that with all sorts of material. When you get so involved with something that it becomes your life, then you don't pay attention to, you know, when somebody gives you information that might be conflictory.
You know, but, what's interesting is, you know, you're the perfect person to talk to about this, because you kind of have experience with this. I didn't plan that. I really
didn't. You're kidding
me.
No,
I really didn't plan that. Now it just dawns on me. Oh, wow, this is interesting. So anyway, there's a whole lot here. I read through this all, and this is what happens, okay? And anyone that reads the Meyer material, I think, has the same experience. Like, I read this whole thing, this 10-page thing, once, and then I read the first few pages again. But I don't think I have enough grasp yet to really talk about it too much more. It's pretty profound stuff.
Well, I think the point being given is that it does say here that if you're serious and you're really searching and meditating, and you want to reach a point where you do have contact with that higher consciousness within you, it can be, the ego can get in the way. And it is constantly a battle, because the ego is only of this particular incarnation and doesn't want you to really know that you are eternal and that you are, a God. So that you know, there is ever a battle going on, and you have to be sure that you are kept pure. And that's the one word that was prominent in that very first thing in the lineage. It was the unblemished, precious one who was born. You have to keep yourself not on the straight and narrow, but you have to make sure that your intentions are pure. And being in human form, that's a very hard thing to do. So in order to get to that place where we cross that bridge of understanding, to get to the higher consciousness, the spirit within, that which is, you know, linked to the creator, the source of all creation, you know, to get to that point and have communication with that, that spirit never gives you a yes or no, go left or right. It will give you a philosophy. And you have to make your choices according to where you are at that particular point in time. There is free will still. So it's really, I mean, the material that you have there that caused me and everything I do false.
I know, that's pretty harsh, isn't it?
Just a little.
Hey, I just had you on the show to totally attack you. I mean, no, I didn't. I swear
no,
I didn't.
No, I know that. When I read that paragraph, it was like, holy crap, does he know what he's setting me up for? No, you're forgiven. But it does talk about the fact that there is joy and optimism, you know, if you get to that place inside of yourself. And that's true. It is a sense of bliss that is unbelievable. But it's a personal internal journey. And you can't go to somebody to be taught to do it. And you can't go to a psychic or a channeler or a medium to get there. It's a journey that every person has to do in their own way, in their own time, in their own manner. And it is their intent that determines whether or not they cross that bridge and get to that place within themselves.
Well, you know, one thing, like right now, in my own internal struggle a little bit with the Meyer material, is this whole election that we've just gone through. And evidently, from what the Meyer material is saying, is that the Civil War is right around the corner. Now, I don't even want to go there. I don't, you know, I want to resist that. I want to fight against that. I don't want that to happen. You understand what I'm saying? I want him. This creates a cognitive dissonance because I don't want that to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, in that sense, I'm kind of fighting against Billy in that sense. Do you see my dilemma?
Yeah, but you know, there is a civil war coming.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. Everybody feels it. It's out there. It's coming.
Maybe we can avert it. I still think it's possible.
but don't you also, well, if the foundation upon which you are building is not stable, the only way to get stable is to destroy the old foundation and build a new one.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe, you know.
And if over the next, not this week, but the next 3 weeks after that, I'm having Lynn Buss on my show, and we're talking about the predictions for the future of humanity and especially this country. And then I have an astrologer on who also is going to be looking at the coming year and what is destined for humanity. And all of us really and truly feel that there is turmoil coming. There is, you know, just because this election is over does not mean that there isn't still the internal conflict that is going to be going on for a couple of years, for sure, more than a couple of years, most probably.
And who are you having on your show?
Michelle Avanti is the astrologer, and actually she started on my show, and then we had trouble with the audio, so she's coming back. But she had some phenomenal insight on stuff that was coming up this next year. And then James Luce, who is a numerologist, and he's quite famous and well known, and he and I for years now have gotten together right before the end of the year to do predictions for the following year. And I have to tell you, I am the biggest Pollyanna that ever lived. And I'm seeing chaos and I'm seeing riots and I'm seeing all sorts of stuff for this next year. So it's, and not just this country.
Hmm.
So,
and
it
your show's on Wednesday and Saturday?
It's the Monday night shows that these people are going to be on. And
okay.
Tomorrow night I have Grant Collier on. He's a medium from Great Britain, if he remembers to get up. And other than that, I'll be reading. But it's the following two Mondays, possibly three Mondays, will all be predictions for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating because there is that element of we are going to have to tear down before we can rebuild, and people are not going to like what's happening.
So do you see like a physical shooting war?
I think the one thing that I saw was that that between September and through December of next year, that there would be rioting and most probably rioting and fires and all sorts of stuff taking place mostly in the sanctuary cities.
And Chicago is a sanctuary city, right?
Yep.
And,
so
and what are some... New York is too. So that means
yeah.
a person who is an illegal immigrant can just go there and then they won't be carted off.
Yeah, well, that's what it means right now, but it's not going to be that way long. And there are laws in place that just aren't being followed, and it looks as though the administration is going to start to make sure that all of the cities pay attention to the laws. And if they don't, they're going to take away the federal funding to those cities.
Hmm.
So there's going to be upheaval for sure, and not only is there going to be upheaval as far as riots and people, but I do feel that we're in for some major earthquakes, especially in this country.
Hmm. And we're running out of time. I'm going to throw this out quickly. And what about these crazy fires? I mean, the fires in Tennessee, those were clearly started, right? That was arson.
Yeah.
So who's doing that?
Arsonists.
That's not a good answer. I was hoping for more specific information than that.
Some of them have been. They've shown that there is some link to some of the terrorist
Muslim?
Stuff.
Terrorist.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, I don't know where the hour went. Barbara's show's on Monday night, and did I just make up Wednesday?
No, Wednesday night, too. Wednesday night is just a reading show, though. It's just free
okay.
readings.
So you just do readings, people call in, and that's blog talk?
Yep.
Maybe I should call in sometime. See what you say. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Barbara. It was a lot of fun. And
my pleasure.
All righty. Thanks, folks. This is Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And I think Daniel Cooper is going to be on tomorrow. So we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.